Shalom to all. Today's afternoon Shalom Shabbos Taf Kuf Vav, and we're starting Kuf Yamud Beis about the second to last line with the words Shalul Hil Azokin and Vilnsur Sadaf. It's all the way at the end of Pei Vav Amud Beis. And today's office sponsor Lila Nishmas Mars Mirim Sar Bas Biakav Moshe Hernish Shama should have an Aliyah. And we're discussing whether or not Machshir Mitzvah Doicha Shabbos. Rabbi Lezer says yes. Rabbi Kiva says that if we're able to do it before Shabbos, then it's not Doicha Shabbos. In particular, we're talking about Mila. Let's say they forgot to bring the Mila knife and they have to carry it through Shos Rabim. Are they allowed to? And certain a term for it. Maybe making a Chayla is okay, which is basically creating a wall with humans. That's making maybe that's mutter, maybe it's not. It's machlokes. And now we continue discussing this in regards to Karim Pesach. Now we know we have to shecht the Karim Pesach on Yud Dal Nisan, that's Erev Pesach, and even if it falls out on Shabbos, we're going to shecht it on Shabbos. However, that's only in regards to the Shechita. What about Machshirei Mitzvah? Let's say bring the Shechita knife. Is that permitted? And here the Gemara tells us, Shaul HaZokain, they asked HaZokain, Malasis La'am Shalai V'yosakane Mimayin. What do we do for the people who forgot to bring their Shechita knives with them Erev Shabbos? Now it's Shabbos, Erev Pesach. What are they supposed to do regarding their knives? Now it's important to realize a little bit of the background of this question. At this time, in the second base of Mikdash, B'nai B'seira were the Nisiyim. They're obviously big tummy the Chamim. It's just that they had a challenge with this question. They didn't know what to do. And at that point in time, Hillel HaZaken had come from Bavel. The word went out on the street that, hey, there's somebody named Hillel that came from Bavel and he's purported to be a big tummy Chacham. Let's go ask him. So they asked him this question. And because he provided them with a good answer, they stepped down and they made Hillel the Nasi. And for all subsequent generations, we know the Nisiyim came from Hillel. And so what was his response to them? Kufan from Malaf on top. Amalani told them, Halach Shemati V'shachachti. I heard that but I forgot. Ella, he nichlan liyisrael, leave am yisrael, im in nevim, b'nei nevim hein. If they're not nevim, they're sons of nevim. Let's see what people do. And miyad, right away, what happened? Kol mishay pischoy tole. Anyone who's karm pesach was a sheep, so it has very thick, furry wool. Hayitachla begizasa. They took their shechita knife and stuck it into the wool of the animal. And gedi, if their karm pesach was a goat, hayakosher bekarnov, they would put it in between the horns. V'nimsu pischein mevin sakinei moin. It turns out that their karm pesach brought the knife with them. So instead of the people carrying the knife, the karm pesach carried the knife for them, and that's not a problem with Shrisas Behemtai. It's not considered like their animals doing malacha for them because it's an abnormal type of malacha. Therefore, it's 100% permitted. And Kim Shira Maiso, once he saw this, this car halacha, remember the halacha. Amalani told them, Kach Shamati Pishmai Bavtalion, this is actually what I heard from Shmai and Avtalion. This is what they told me to do. And now just a little comment on this. Rabbi Zeir says, B'shem Blazer, Kol Taira She'en Lo Beis Av, Ein a Taira. Any Taira, meaning any halacha that doesn't have a Beis Av, it doesn't have a source from the early generation, it's not Taira, it's not a halacha. Just because this is what everyone does, that doesn't mean you're allowed to do it. That's not the halacha. It had to be that Hillel says, oh, I remember, that's what they told me to do, and only then it gets established as halacha. Now we discussed another din regarding a carbon doing malacha. Taman Tanin over there, we learned, Rachav Aleha, if we have the Parah Aduma, which is not allowed to have any work done with it, but somebody rode on it, Nishan Aleha, or even leaned on it, Nitl Aleha, he hung something on it, Avar Banahar, if one was going through river, he kind of leaned on it for support, Kipa Aleha Mesira, if even took the ropes, the reins, and put them on top of the animal, Natsan Talisa Aleha, or if he put his garment on it, Psula, he passed the Parah Aduma, it's considered like work was done with it, and now he's not allowed to use it. And as we just said, all carbonars are not allowed to have work done with them. However, we continue, Hada Yalfa Mahiva, he Yalfa Mahada, that's learned from this, and this is learned from that. Hada Yalfa Mahi, that's learned from this. She'im Talabasak and Shaychta Ksheira, that if the Kayin put the knife on the Paraduma in order to shech the Paraduma with it, meaning he needs this knife to shech the Paraduma, and he put the knife on it, that's not considered like doing malacha, because we had just said over here that on Shabbos, they're allowed to put their knife on their Kayin Pesach and have it carry it for them, and that's not considered like doing malacha with a carbon. And he off menada. This is learned from that. She'll call avoida. She's shem kachim. Ain avoida. That any avoida that's for the kachim itself, it's not considered like avoida. It's not like it's doing work with the animal and passeling it. As the gemara via tirulah nade chayla. Why didn't Hillel just say it's permitted with this chayla, with this human wall, form a wall of humans? Anyone who needs to carry their shechita knife for the karm pesach should do so through this wall as considered rishus yachin, and there's no problem. Ella must be, since he did not suggest this, kirv ami. It seems to be the way passing like kirv ami, who had told us in the previous amud that we're not allowed to do this human wall thing, this chayla, in order to carry something through Rosh Hashanah. However, the Gemara says, not a raya, but filo tamer krab simayin. It could be that we actually pass on the krab simayin, that we are allowed to do this chayla, this human wall. It's just like Hashem Shanasam Wazoo, Kach Nasam Wazoo. The same way the Hill had forgotten the first halacha, could be he forgot this halacha as well, and that we actually pass on the krab simayin, so there's no raya. Now, Omar Ravam comments on this whole thing. It's impossible for two Shemitah cycles, meaning for 14 years, to go by without Erev Pesach falling out on Shabbos. So, why did the B'nai B'Seira forget this halacha? How do they possibly forget it? It has to be that at least once within 14 years, Erev Pesach is going to fall on Shabbos, and that's not sufficient enough time that the Nisiyim would forget what the halacha is. And the answer is, Kedei Litein Gedula Hillel. Hashem wanted them to forget it, so the greatness could be passed on to Hillel, so it's all orchestrated by Hashem. And we continue discussing this, Tani Reb Lezer, and Reb Lezer says, K'shim Shashchiti Doicha Shabbos, the same way the Shechita the Karma Pesach is Doicha Shabbos, Kach Machshir Shechita Doicha Nesha Shabbos. So too, the preparations for the Shechita are Doicha Shabbos, so of course you'll have to bring the Shechita knife through the Rosh Hashanah if you need to. However, told him, don't say that. If you want to say it's by shechita that's doicha Shabbos, that makes sense. She after lasers merv Shabbos. You're not able to do the shechita erev Shabbos. You doubted Shabbos, so you have to shechit on Shabbos. Her machshir shechita. But are you going to say the same by machshir shechita? She after lasers merv Shabbos. You are able to do the merv Shabbos. You could have brought the shechita tonight to the Beis Hamikdash erev Shabbos, so it's not doicha Shabbos. However, Amar Lezer, Lezer responds to Bikiva, emur tzibur yichichu. The fats of a carbon tzibur, they emurim, the sacrificial parts of a carbon tzibur, they're going to prove that that's not true. Sheyachal lasoys on mitzvah Shabbos. That's a proper girsa. One's able to bring the matzah Shabbos, v'daychnas Shabbos, their daycha Shabbos. We know that every single Shabbos, certain karbanos tzibur are allowed to be shechted. For example, the carbon tamid and a musaf, and the emurim of those karbanos could technically be brought on mitzvah Shabbos. We know that emurim are allowed to be burned all night long, but nonetheless, they're daycha Shabbos, and we bring them on Shabbos. So ma'al machshir shchita lefnei shchita, ma'al machshir shchita alacher shchita. What's the difference? Machshir shchita after shchita, which is the emurim that they're daycha Shabbos. So too, machshir shchita before shchita. For example, bringing the knife on Shabbos, that's also daycha Shabbos. However, Amar Rabbi Akiva told him, ma'al machshir shchita alacher shchita, machshir shchita after shchita, they're daycha Shabbos. Shekvar dochas shchita as a Shabbos. Shchita was ready daycha Shabbos. You already shechted the carbon on Shabbos. Okay, so once you ready daycha Shabbos for shchita the carbon, you could continue being daycha Shabbos by bringing the emurim. But yidchu machshir shchita lefnei shchita, shadayin ledochas shchita as a Shabbos. Are the machshirim of the shchita going to be daycha Shabbos? Shchita itself wasn't daycha Shabbos yet. You didn't shech the carbon yet, and before the shchita the carbon, you want to be daycha Shabbos? No dechi of Shabbos took place yet, so you can't be daycha Shabbos for machshirin that happened before the shchita. Now the Rach, another response of his was as follows: Shema yimsa zevach pasul. If you're going to say the machshirei shchita or daycha Shabbos, it could be that you're going to shech the carbon. It's going to turn out to be pasul v'nimsa daycha Shabbos b'le shchita. Then it's going to turn out that you were daycha Shabbos by bringing the knife through Rishus Rabim, and you didn't even end up being mekayim a mitzvah of shechting an animal properly. And that's obviously a big no-no. The Gemara asks, if that's the svara, gabi tinaik ma'eslacha, what about by a child? What would Rabbi Kiva respond then? If Rabbi Kiva's whole problem is that you're not allowed to be daycha Shabbos for a knife because the shechita might end up being pasul, so then why would he aser machshirei mila? There's no sign of the mila being pasul, or you sure hope that the mila is not going to be messing up on the mila in a way that's going to pasul it. And so according to this, Rabbi Kiva should allow one to bring a mila knife on Shabbos. And the answer is that no, there still is a chashash. Maybe the child's going to get sick and then it's going to turn out that we were daycha Shabbos by bringing the knife through Shus Rabim without actually doing a bris mila. However, Kovavam is on top of Seva and they ask another question. Harim is bech shenafel b'Shabbos. Let's say the Mizbech collapsed on Shabbos. Hare eino roi live nice me'erev Shabbos. That's a proper girsa. It wasn't roi to be built before Shabbos, but still we hold it's nala to be built on Shabbos. Why not? According to Rabbi Akiva, it should be able to be built on Shabbos because it wasn't able to be done before Shabbos. And the answer is that no, min Mizbech roi live nice me'esmael. There still was a Mizbech that was able to be built beforehand. In other words, part and parcel of the mitzvah of Shechita is not building Mizbech on Shabbos. A Mizbech technically could be built before Shabbos, which means that it's not part and parcel of the actual mitzvah of Shechita making that Mizbech on Shabbos. Therefore, even if we have a situation where the Mizbech fell down on Shabbos, and so you're right, this Mizbech couldn't have been built Erev Shabbos. Nonetheless, since it's not part of the actual mitzvah of Shechita, it's not something that could be Deicha Shabbos. And we have two similar questions. Haga Asmacha, think about it for yourself. Let's say the Karan Pesach had some sort of wart or growth on it on Shabbos. That can't be cut on Shabbos, meaning it can't be cut on Erev Shabbos because it didn't exist Erev Shabbos. And nonetheless, we don't allow one to cut it on Shabbos. Why not? It couldn't have been done beforehand. So once again, we answer, there's technically a bailes that could have been cut off from yesterday, meaning if it was there yesterday, it could have been cut off, which means that it's not part of the etzem mitzvah of shechita, the Karan Pesach, cutting off a bailes. Therefore, even if something came up on it on Shabbos, it's not Deicha Shabbos. And once again, we have a similar question. Pay attention to the gears to change. Hagasmacha, think about it for yourself. That his seventh day fell out on the 14th, which was on Shabbos. This is talking about somebody who's Tamei Meis. We know that on the third and seventh day of his Tahara process, he needs to have Hazah, sprinkling from the waters of the Paraduma. And if that seventh day fell out on the 14th, which is on Shabbos, Hare Eino Roi Lehazes B'Shabbos, he wasn't able to get sprinkled on before Shabbos, and still it's usher to do it on Shabbos. Why? And once again, we have the same answer. Min Hazah Yeru'i Lehazes Me'asmo, since it's technically able to be done beforehand, it's not going to be Deicha Shabbos. But once again, Shechita itself has to be done on Shabbos. If it's the 14th, there is no possibility of doing it beforehand. Therefore, the shechita is daicha, but these other things are not going to be daicha. Moving on to halacha beis, continuing to discuss mila on Shabbos. And let's just get a very brief overview of the mitzvah of mila and what happens. So actually, there's a number of processes. The aver has two coverings. First, the arla, which is a thick piece of foreskin, is cut off by the mael. Then underneath that, there's a thin membrane, which the mael tears and pulls back. That's called the priya. Then he does metzitza, sucking the blood from the mila. And finally, he bandages it up. So the Mishnah tells us, one's allowed to do anything necessary for the mila itself on Shabbos. Mylin, we do the actual mila, which is cutting off the foreskin, upirin, and pulling back the membrane. membrane, umaitasin, and sucking the blood, vinaisin alias blondness, and putting a bandage on it, vikamun, and crushed cumin, which helped stop the blood flow. And mleshachak me'erev Shabbos, if he didn't crush the cumin erev Shabbos, loyes beshin of vinaisin, he could chew with his teeth, and that's why he would crush the cumin and put it on, even though the child's in danger. And we know that when dealing with sakanas nefashas, we're allowed to break Shabbos. Still, if one's able to do it with a shinoi, he should, which is why he should chew it. Also, mloy tarav yayin v'shemen, if he didn't vigorously mix wine and oil, which was some sort of healing thing they used for the mila, nice and zelatzmi, he puts this one and that one, meaning he puts each one on the wound individually. He doesn't mix them together at all. Another din, ein oisin l'chalak l'chatchila, no making a special chalak for it. This was like some sort of bandage that they made that was pulled onto the makam mila and then tied nice and tight in order to keep its form to prevent the skin from going back to where it was. So he's not allowed to make this chalak on Shabbos. Al karchal smartut, he could take a smartut, which is basically like a piece of cloth, and wrap it around because that more or less does the job. However, mloy hiskin me'erev Shabbos, if he didn't even prepare this cloth erev Shabbos, karchal etzbai, he could wrap it around his finger. Umevi afilu mechatzar cheres, he could bring it even from another chatzar. Now we discuss these two different parts of mila and priya. The Gemara quotes a pasuk, himol yimol. The pasuk tells us himol yimol kol zachar, which is a double lashon. Mikan from here we learn l'shnei mila. So there's two parts of mila, achas l'mila v'achas l'priya. One is the mila, one's the priya, and also achas l'mila v'achas l'tzitzim. One's the mila and one's the tzitzim. Tzitzim are like pieces of skin that weren't cut off in the first slice of the knife. There are two types, tzitzin ma'akvin and tzitzin she'einon ma'akvin. Some of these tzitzin, which are ma'akev, they're considered part and parcel of the arla, and they have to be cut off, or else he wasn't yaitze doing a bris mila, and these are things that are also daicha Shabbos. Now the Gemara asks, ad kedon k'Rabbi Akiva, this is all good according to Rabbi Akiva, du amr l'shoinus ribuyin hein, who says that when we have a double lashon in the pasuk, that could teach us something extra. Ella, that's a proper girsa k'Rabbi Shmuel. What about according to Rabbi Shmuel, du amr, he says, l'shoinus k'fulis hein ha'tar dibur k'darka, that when anytime we have a double lashon, the Torah is just speaking like regular people speak. For example, halach halachta, nichsef nichsafta, ganav ganavti. So Manolan, how does he know that those are all part of the mila process? And the answer is Amar Yehuda Mapazi. The pasuk tells us regarding Moshe Rabbeinu's wife, Az Amra, then she said, chasan damim lemulais, and mulais is a double lashon, mikan l'shnei milais. From here we learn there's two milais, achas l'mila v'achas l'priya, and achas l'mila v'achas l'tzitzim. Now Rav Amar Rav tells us, himol yimol, what does that teach us? Mikan l'noilik shumol, shetzarech l'hatviv menu dam bris. This teaches us that if a person was born mahol, he was born with a bris mila, sometimes that happens, we still have to do a hatofas dam bris, which means we have to poke the makam mila and take some blood out, and that's what we learn from this double lashon of himol yimol. Another joshua, himol yimol, mikan l'yisrael arel shalai yimol. This tells us that Yisrael, who's an arel, he had never got a bris mila, he's not allowed to give a bris mila. Evein tzarech loymar goy arel, you don't even have to say that if a goy arel, all goyim arelim, even if they have a bris mila, they're still considered an arel, a goy is not allowed to give a bris mila. Now Rabbi Levi Blavi says, ksiv, it says in the pasuk, v'atas brisi tishmar, and you shall guard my bris. What do we learn from here? Kol shekei yotze b'cha, anyone who's like you, meaning anyone who's a yid, he's the one that gives a bris, but somebody who doesn't have a bris or he's not a yid, he can't give a bris. Now Tani v'braisa, Yisrael malas a kusi, a Yisrael could give a bris mila to a kusi. Over here in particular, we're actually talking about the Kusim, which was a nation transplanted by Sancheirev into Eretz Yisrael. They underwent gerus, and then maybe their gerus wasn't valid because later on they were found to be serving avodah zarah. So a yid could give a bris mila to a kusi, but a kusi ain't a malas Yisrael. A kusi can't give a bris mila to Yisrael. Why is that? Because their kavana is for Hargrizim. They had a yoina, a dove of sorts that they found on Hargrizim. They used to worship it. And since that's what their kavana is, they're thinking about their avodah zarah on Hargrizim, they can't give a bris mila. Div Rabbi Yudin, that's what Rabbi Yudin says. However, Rabbi Yasi tells us, where do we find that the mila needs to have kavana? That the mile has to have l'shem yichud for bris mila. Let him continue giving bris mila for Hargrizim until he dies. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yasi, it's permitted. On to one last din, hamashuch lo yimol. A person who's a mashuch should not get a bris mila. Mashuch literally means pulled or stretched, and this is referring to somebody who the skin of their aver got pulled, either on purpose or just by mistake, over the makam mila, covering it, making it look like they don't have a bris mila, so this person should not get another bris mila. Why is that? Shalev le sakana, wouldn't want to bring it to sakana, div Rabbi Yudas. Rabbi Yudas says he's afraid that if we give him another mila, a wrong part might be cut, and then the person is going to end up being Chris Shafcha, he's not going to be able to have children. Or Amalei Reisi told him, Harbi Meshuchan Hayu Mei Ben Kuziva, there was many Meshuchim in the days of Ben Kuziva, to the famous Bar Kochba, other Bar Kochba rebellion, and there was a Xer then that the Romans forced the Jewish men to pull their skin covering over their mila, so there was many people that were Meshuchin, and Vakul and Malu, all of them got a second bris mila, Vachayu, and they lived, and they had sons and daughters, so this is not something we have to be worried about. If somebody became a Mashuch, we should give them another mila. We're going to stop here for the day, and pick up tomorrow and continue to discuss this. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.